It's been 18 days since Stephen Paddock killed 58 people and injured hundreds more attending a country music festival in Las Vegas. And the public is no closer to knowing how he planned the massacre or why he did it. Meanwhile, three times Las Vegas police have changed the timeline of the events from the night of the shooting. Jennifer Medina is national correspondent for the New York Times, and she joins me from Los Angeles now to help explain what we still don't know and why it's been so hard to get answers.
We know very little about how he planned and essentially nothing about his motive. We know that he had to have done a tremendous amount of planning to get the number of guns. There were roughly 24 semi-automatic weapons found in his hotel room and more at his home near Las Vegas, and hundreds of rounds of ammunition. So he certainly had to do some planning and some level of practice, but we really don't know anything about that yet. And one of the most vexing things for investigators here has been this question of motive. There's no manifesto and no clear reason of why he did what he did.
I mean, this utter secrecy that you're describing and that authorities are describing seems extraordinarily unusual for somebody planning something so catastrophic.
That's right. In almost every other mass shooting incident, anything even approaching the scale, and this was an extremely large scale, remember, this is nearly 60 people who were killed, you've had some sort of letter or something written on the internet. In the case of Orlando, you had the perpetrator on the phone with negotiators saying what he wanted and what he was thinking. We have nothing like that in this case, which is very unusual.
So there have been discrepancies from the night of the shooting when police intervened and descended on the Mandalay Bay Hotel. What can you tell us about the differences in timeline from different authorities involved and how those are starting to align?
At the moment, it seems like everybody is essentially in agreement of what happened, but this has really come out in a piecemeal fashion and changed at several different times. Now, Sheriff Joe Lombardo, who is the head of the Las Vegas Police Department, has said, even at the start, has said, look, we've got tons of information to sort through, many pieces of evidence, many people to talk to. Things are going to change throughout. And that's fairly typical throughout any sort of big investigation like this. What's different here is sort of how significantly the times have changed and how many times. Initially, the reports were that the shooting started around 10:05 and that a security guard was shot after the shooting had ended on the music grounds about 10 minutes later. The sheriff later said last week that, in fact, the security guard had been shot first, several minutes before the shooting had started at the music venue.
Yes, the timeline associated with the original shot and Mr. Campos has changed. What we have learned is Mr. Campos was encountered by the suspect prior to his shooting to the outside world.
Then late in the week, he said, no, I'm sorry, we had it wrong. We had wrong information. And in fact, it happened roughly at the same time.
Mr. Campos received his wounds in close proximity to 2205.
In between that, MGM, which owns the Mandalay Bay where the shooting happened, said, look, we think that the information that the police are putting out is wrong. We're cooperating with police, but we want you to know that we think the information is wrong, which is a fairly extraordinary thing for a private company to say, to sort of publicly contradict investigators on something like this.
And Jennifer, on the police side, there are questions of why it took the cops 12 minutes to locate Stephen Paddock in the big hotel when they were already there. What do we know about that?
It's quite confusing, I think, for the general public and people, and as the vast majority of people haven't been in this sort of situation before. 12 minutes to us sounds like an extremely long time. The case that the police have made repeatedly is, in fact, 12 minutes is very fast, given what they had to do. They apparently climbed 32 flights of stairs to get to the floor. It's not exactly clear why they climbed stairs instead of taking the elevator. They couldn't get onto the floor because Paddock had apparently barricaded one of the stairwells. And they also believe that there were multiple gunmen perhaps shooting from multiple floors. So they responded. There was a team of about 8 officers at the scene. They go up to the floor, and by the time they get to the floor, the shooting has stopped. They then no longer act as if it's an active shooter. They consider that something different because the shooting has stopped and start to clear the floor, evacuate the floor. So the question for the general public has been, well, did they do everything fast enough? And the sheriff has been extremely clear that he thinks that not only did they do this fast enough, but they did it as fast as possible, and they, in fact, saved lives.
Okay, the officers in the first strike team reached this 32nd floor within 12 minutes, which is phenomenal. And keep in mind, this delay was not undue. It was purposeful, and no shots were being heard by the suspect at this point.
I think it's really will be investigated and debated and examined by experts to see what they did and what they could have done differently, and can anybody learn something from this?
So, Jennifer Medina, as the police continue to look and continue to investigate Stephen Paddock, his planning, his possible motives, with all of the unanswered questions, where are they looking now?
They have said that they've got 2,000 leads and hundreds of interviews and thousands of pieces of evidence. They have all kinds of tape. You know, Las Vegas is one of the most monitored places in the world, so they have all kinds of tapes from casinos and other places watching him go in and out. They've spoken with his girlfriend, who remains cooperative in the investigation and apparently certainly not named as a suspect, and apparently does not seem to know much about the attack that we know of, and really trying to reconstruct his whole life and psychologically, professionally, financially, all of those things. So it's hard to know, though, if we will ever really know a motive. As one person put it, the only way we'll know is if we get inside his head, and we can't do that because he's killed himself.
Jennifer Medina with the New York Times, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.